Please take your Bible and turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. As you're doing that, I would take just a moment to say to each one how much we appreciate your being here to worship God. I'm grateful that two of our daughters and three of our grandchildren are here this morning in our midst. We're thankful that each of you is here. In just a few moments, we're going to be looking at the word pray or prayer as it is used in the latter part of James 5. But to set a framework for that study, I'd like to refer to the passage that David just read in Matthew 15. You may have noticed that Jesus called these folks in Matthew 15 hypocrites. He mentioned that they were offering something from their lips, but that their heart was not really in it. Recognizing teaching like Hebrews 13:15 concerning the fruit of the lips, we believe that that involves worship, especially singing and prayer. It goes from our lips in the direction of God. We're also convinced that he's talking about worship because in verse 9 there, he emphasizes that their worship was vain because they were worshiping as hypocrites. This passage emphasizes to us the importance of prayer, but it also emphasizes to us the importance of living what we pray. I want to share with you a poem that is entitled, Living the Way We Pray. I knelt to pray when day was done and prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. Lift from each heart the pain and let the sick be well again. And then I woke one day and carelessly went on my way. The whole day long I did not try to wipe a tear from any eye. I did not try to share the load of my brother on the road. I did not even go to see the sick man just next door to me. Yet once again, when day was done, I prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. But as I prayed, to my ear there came a voice that whispered clear, Pause, hypocrite, before you pray. Whom have you tried to bless today? God's sweetest blessings always go by hands that serve him here below. And then I hid my face and cried, Forgive me, Lord, for I have lied. Let me live another day, and I will live the way I pray. We've emphasized in lessons past the importance of living as we pray. We pray for peace. We need to work for peace among ourselves and the family and the church, and even peace with self in the relationship to God. We pray for others, especially those that are hurting. Maybe sometimes we need to stop and ask the question, do we really reach out to visit and to help those that are hurting, those who are sick and bereaved and hurting in other ways? We pray for the church. We ask for God's blessings to be with its mission as we look to take the gospel to the whole world. We pray for its programs that involve us in reaching out to people, even in the local community. But what do we do as individuals to live the way we pray? We even pray for self. Good health, happiness, success. And then sometimes do not really live as we pray when we fail to take care of our bodies and use principles of honesty and decency. It is extremely important that we learn to live the way we pray so that our prayers do not go up to God as hypocrites. And I think reminding ourselves of that will help us to really look at James 5, verses 13 through 18. As we continue to think about the subject of prayer. There are seven times in these six verses that the word pray or some form of it is mentioned. I don't know that there's anywhere in the Bible that prayer is mentioned that many different times in just a few verses. But seven times. And each one of the seven times mentioned, in a sense, is a little different from all the others, has something to suggest to us about the subject of prayer. Notice first in verse 13, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Concentrate for just a moment on those three words, let him pray. That suggests to us the idea of the importance of the individual's prayer. Sometimes we get so caught up with what's happening amongst us that we forget to think about what's happening inside each of us. I think there is a tendency for us to even allow ourselves to believe that God is going to judge us as a group when we meet him face to face. That's not the case. He's going to judge us as individuals. And although there is a sense, as we shall see later in this passage, in which we pray together and sing together and worship together, and I'm sure there's a sense in which God listens to us as a group this morning, there's also a sense in which he listens to us as individuals. We need to recognize that. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Probably remember that he also says in that passage, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I want you to notice that the pronoun I is emphasized here. We usually do not think about emphasizing the pronoun I, but it is emphasized here relative to prayer. I will pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. Jesus, in his great Sermon on the Mount, had a lot to say about prayer, and much of it had to do with private prayer. He said, don't get out like these hypocrites we referred to a moment ago and pray to be seen of men and to be heard of men, but he said, enter into your own private closet. Pray to your Heavenly Father in secret. How much emphasis do you and I place upon private prayer? How much time do we take to spend some conversation or some time in conversation with God in prayer on an individual basis? It's interesting to study the life of Christ. He enjoyed getting away to himself sometimes, evidently, to pray. Get in a boat and go out away from the shore to get away from the people, or he'd go up into the mountains apart to pray. He enjoyed some time that he could just talk to his Father, and if Jesus needed that, how much more do you and I need it? It's also interesting that as he was facing his greatest challenge and getting ready to die on the cross when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, although he had his disciples, apostles with him and took three of them even a little further with him, he even left them, and he went on apart to pray. Evidently, on that occasion, Jesus thought he needed some time to just be by himself and talk with his Father in prayer. And so this passage emphasizes the idea of private prayer, the individual's prayer. If any is sick among you, let him pray. If any is afflicted, let him pray. If any is merry, let him sing. If there is some kind of affliction, he said, a person needs to learn to pray about that. You and I need to work on our prayer in a private way, in an individual way. But go ahead and look at the next verse. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Leave the anointing of oil here has a special significance at that time, and that's a lesson for another time. But I want you to notice the three words, let them pray. Compare and contrast that with what we noticed in the previous verse, let him pray. Here it's a plural word. Let them pray. This suggests to us that although private prayer is important, public prayer is also important. Having someone else to lead a prayer and to be praying for the problems that we face, particularly in this case, sickness. Call for the elders. Elders specifically are mentioned, but certainly all of us should be interested. And let them pray over him. It's interesting to study God's word from the standpoint of united prayer. In Acts, the first chapter, at verse 14, as the apostles were together getting ready to ask God to help them to select a replacement for Judas, they were together praying. In Acts, the second chapter, in verse 42, after the establishment of the church, as a description is given of what the early Christians were doing, they were continuing steadfastly, among other things, in prayer. And again, as you study throughout the book of Acts, you find people praying and praying together. Even at the time that Lydia was converted in Acts 16, says they had come down for the purpose of prayer, where prayer was wont to be made. Even these folks, before they became New Testament Christians, were interested in getting together to pray. The idea was of praying together. You know, it's hard for me to understand how anybody who claims to be a part of the family of God would not want to be together with God's people when there is a gathering that includes worship, such as prayer. I know there are times that things are beyond our control, but I'm honest with you, it is difficult for me to understand how anybody who claims to be a part of the family of God would not want to be together in a service like this to pray together as a part of our worship. On Wednesday night when we come together, we even used to call that prayer meeting night. Sometimes we may get a little bit away from that, but at least one of the things that we do together when we come together on Wednesday night is to pray. I just don't understand. I'm honest with you. I don't understand. Now, anybody would want to be and claim to be a part of the family of God and not want to be with that family when they're getting together to pray together and to worship God. We need to realize the importance of praying together. That does not minimize the importance of our own individual private prayers, but it's just another way that prayer is emphasized. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Our prayer must be a prayer of faith. James 1, 5 and 6 says that we are to ask not doubting. A man who doubts is like a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. We are to ask believing. We are to ask without doubt. Even 1 Timothy 2:8 says men are to pray. There he talks about holding up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Our prayers ought to be uttered as prayers of faith. We should believe in an answer. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, 7. Mark 11 says, if a person asks in faith, what he asks will be given to him. Of course, that has to be tempered with passages such as 1 John 5:14. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We should not expect God to answer our prayers by giving us something that's not according to his will. And as we often say, there may be ways that God will answer our prayers that are even better than the ways that we mention to him in our prayers. But folks, we've got to have faith. Believing in prayer and believing that God listens to our prayers. That means we don't just utter words to have something to say. Maybe not even thinking about what we say. But it means that we believe that our Father cares and that he listens and that he answers our prayers. Prayer of faith. Faith is so important. And if we don't believe that God is going to answer our prayers, why should we pray? Why should we even pray for the sick if we don't believe God is going to answer our prayers? His answer may not always be exactly what we would first want. But if we do not believe that God is capable of answering our prayers for the sick and the bereaved and the hurting and other ways, why should we even pray? Our prayers are to be prayers of faith. Then look at verse 16. Prayer is mentioned twice in this verse. First, notice he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. This describes what we might call intercessory prayer, asking on behalf of somebody else. As we pass this, I would take just a moment to emphasize the importance of confessing our faults one to another. When we have sinned in a way that others know it, it just seems natural and reasonable that making it right would be confessing it to the extent that it's been committed. When you and I have sinned in a way that others know that we have either done something we shouldn't do or we have been negligent in our Christian duty, based on this passage and others, there seems to be the need to confess those faults one to another. But then he says, pray one for another. Now, Romans 8 says that Jesus makes intercession for us and also says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. But here he says we are to make intercession for one another. And when prayer is described in the earlier part of 1 Timothy in different ways, one of the ways it's described is that it's intercessions. We are to intercede. We are to be praying for one another. We sometimes talk about our prayer list, the one that we put on tail, the one that we list in the bulletin. And it's not unusual for us to get a call during the week and say, would you please add these names to the prayer list? What does that mean? That means the list of those for whom we are praying. All of us may not have the same prayer list. In fact, sometimes when we're praying as a group, we may fail to mention someone that you remember needs prayer. And certainly you can add that as we pray to God, going back to this emphasis upon the individual prayer along with the united prayer. But we need the prayer of intercession. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was interceding even for his enemies as he was dying on the cross in Luke 23. In Acts 12, when James, the brother of John, had been put to death and Peter was in prison, the disciples were together praying. And when you read that, you get the idea they were specifically praying for the situations that had happened and interceding for those who were in prison and those who were suffering and had difficulties at that time. They were interceding for one another. Paul even said, usually in the first chapter of most of his books and letters that he wrote, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm remembering you always in my prayers. He was interceding for them. He was praying for them. And so we need to have prayers where we intercede for one another. This is not limited to just the times that someone might respond to the invitation and ask for prayer. It would include that. And that's a wonderful opportunity and is a needed opportunity. But it would include any way in which we intercede for one another. I would guess that each one of us who has prayed to God in the last 24 hours prayed for somebody else. Maybe somebody else in your family. Maybe somebody that you thought of that's sick. Somebody in the community that's lost a loved one. Intercessory prayer. Then he also says in this verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Just in passing, notice the idea of the righteous man, and that fits back into our framework of being sure that our prayers are not hypocritical, that we are to live the way we pray. But now back to prayer. He says a fervent prayer. The word fervent means really putting yourself into it, really dedicated in what you are saying. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he had sweat drops as of blood. He prayed so hard that he broke out in a sweat. His sweat drops were as blood. I would guess that that was one of the most fervent prayers that was ever prayed to God, the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And sometimes when you and I really get a little bit scared and we really remember the importance of prayer, when maybe we're facing something that's bigger than anything we've ever faced before, we might even pray so hard that we would break out in a sweat. I've known of instances where people were so involved in prayer that they even forgot to take time for a meal. They weren't hungry. They didn't even need to eat because they were so fervently involved in prayer. How often do we pray like that? Back to that 1 Corinthians 14:15. I'll pray with the understanding, but look at the other point. I will pray with the Spirit. I will really put myself into it, enthusiastically dedicated to what I am saying and believing in the prayer that is being uttered, a fervent prayer. Then he says in the next verse that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he needed prayer just like we do. He prayed earnestly, fervently, like the prayer described in verse 16, that it might not rain. And it rained not upon the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I want us to look at this point on prayer to notice that he prayed for something of a specific nature. Oh, certainly we would not criticize any kind of prayer. And if a person were just simply say, Father, bless us, amen, that would be a good prayer. And many times we do pray in general terms. But isn't it interesting here that he prayed for something specifically? And I believe you'll notice as you study prayer through the Bible that many of the prayers have to do with something specific. Even that prayer that Jesus used as a model prayer for his disciples to pray in Matthew 6 was very, very specific. In fact, that's the only way it could have been as short as it was and cover as much as it did, was to be extremely specific. How specific are we in our prayers? It's not wrong for us to specify what we want, always keeping in mind that God's will overrules ours. There are times in some of our public prayers that I think we need to remember this point. This morning at the Lord's table, we prayed specifically for the bread and then for the fruit of the vine. And then after that, as we were getting ready to worship with our giving, we prayed specifically about our giving, what made it possible and what we would do with it. There have been times that I've heard prayers at the Lord's table where we covered everything else in the world and forgot to pray for the bread and fruit of the vine. I certainly would be slow to say that prayer is out of place at any time, but I believe that God wants us to be specific on occasions when we're talking about a specific thing. It just seems to me that the dismissal prayer needs to be a very specific prayer. Here again, certainly it's not out of order at any time. Pray for everything. But we've already, at other times in the service, prayed for many things. We come down to the end of the service. Our main purpose there is to ask for God's blessings to go with us. The circumstances at that time may also encourage a shorter prayer. And yet there have been times that I have listened to someone while the audience is standing and mothers are holding their babies, pray for 10 minutes about everything that we've already prayed about. Again, I don't want to criticize praying at any time for anything, but folks, there are times when it seems that specific prayers are important. We do not necessarily have to cover everything every time. Jesus did not in that model prayer. When I was younger, I preached at a place where we had a man who prayed longer than I preached, and he covered more subjects. Well, again, I don't want to criticize prayer. If we prayed all night, it would be worthwhile from that standpoint. But there are just times that it seems that we need to be specific. And we need to have specific thoughts in mind when we pray to God. Then, there's another interesting point that's made in verse 18. And this may be one of the reasons that he was specific and limited himself to what is said in verse 17. It says he prayed again. And the heaven was opened and gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He prayed again. He had another specific reason to pray, and he prayed again. This is the idea of continued prayer, continuing on and on in prayer, not necessarily covering everything on every occasion, but continuing to pray to God. He continued. Most of you are familiar with that little passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that simply says, pray without ceasing. Maybe that carries with it sort of the idea of let prayer become a lifestyle. You just keep on. Here he prayed for one thing, and then later he prayed for another thing. He just kept on continuing to pray as there was a need for prayer. Jesus went back and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the second and the third time, said the same thing. Now, he's the one who said avoid vain repetitions, and we need to be careful of that, but there are times when we may need to pray again and again and again for something, if the circumstances dictate that, as did his. But we need to continue in prayer, believing in due season we shall reap if we faint not, Galatians 6 and verse 9. Seven times prayer is mentioned here. Individual prayer, united prayer, believing prayer, intercessory prayer, fervent prayer, specific prayer, and continued prayer. I hope that the study of this will help us to make our prayer lives more meaningful as we pray to God. One of the things for which we're praying, many of us have been praying for a long time, is that if you're not a Christian, you would come this morning confessing Christ, repenting of your sins, being baptized for the remission of sins. Another thing, another specific prayer that some of us have been praying is that if you've not been faithful as a Christian, that you'll come back and ask for forgiveness and get your life straight with God as prayer is made. Prayer is so important. You need it. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.